that folk music's for the elite, the wise and the old with a college degree. A $40 ticket and a $15 drink. They say that folk music's for the elite. But you'll do just fine if you stay healthy. If you can't make rent, then just get another job. They say that happiness is for those who work hard.
Hello, I'm Zachariah Julian from the Hickory Apache Nation, and welcome to From Here With a View, a We Are the Seeds Philadelphia podcast. Ray Zaragoza is an award-winning singer-songwriter who NPR Music called one of the most fresh and compelling voices in folk music today. Her sophomore album, Woman in Color, offers an intimate exploration of identity and belonging as a mixed-race woman in America. Welcome, Ray. It's an absolute pleasure to have you. How are you today?
Thanks for having me. I'm great. I'm doing really well. It's been a long week, a good week, but a long week. I feel like I've had very full days of creativity every day this week. So
we just got done watching your music video, They Say. It's a striking video. It's well paced and well thought out. I like how the plot slowly unravels. And then once you see you wearing the gloves, what was that like filming during this time?
Oh my gosh. Filming that was, I can't even tell you. It was wild because that was March 17th, 2020, when we filmed that. So we filmed that the day after the stay-at-home order was put into effect here in Los Angeles. So technically we were not supposed to be leaving our homes that day, but it was just me and my one friend, and we were outside and distanced, and no one was around. And it was, I felt this need to document it. I really did. It was terrifying. Los Angeles was completely quiet, whereas a week and a half earlier, it was booming and it was lively and it was loud. I had the gloves because we were, wearing gloves at that point. We didn't want to touch anything. But also, I didn't even have a mask on in that video because that was when we, it was hard to get masks, and we were not supposed to wear masks or get them because we had to save them for the frontline's workers. And so it was, it was just a really wild time. To look back on that is really wild to me. Really wild. Time goes by very fast.
It's crazy. People just kind of got stuck in certain places. That video, the song itself, did you know when you were thinking about this video, when you were walking around and you wanted to document, did that song pop out to you? This the song that will match it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that song really haunted me because, I wrote it before the pandemic, but it's about, all of the inequalities in society and how the wealthy, privileged class has access to everything and anything you could ever need. And yet they're not the ones who need it. It's kind of I feel there is this societal like norm where it's like, okay, the person who gets the free drink is the famous person, or the person who gets like the comped tickets, or like gets into the event for free, or whatever, gets free access to anything, easy access, front of the line, whatever, are the people who don't need it, are the people who have for generations had everything, you know, become a lot easier. And like, I realized through writing that song, is like, wow, your health is a privilege. Having access to basic needs is a privilege in this country, something that really should be a given to every single human. And the pandemic really bubbled all of that to the surface, because we saw how so many communities, especially, you know, communities of color, indigenous communities, immigrant communities, did not have the same access to PPE, to testing, to, you know, a lot of the worst outbreaks. Even that documentary I was watching about the first wave, it was a lot of folks of color who were the ones, you know, having the worst outbreaks in their neighborhoods. So it just, that song really haunted me during the pandemic at the beginning, because I didn't write it during the pandemic, but it really felt like it was written for, you know, it was written for that video when I hadn't actually planned it to be.
That's fascinating. That's beautiful. Like, I grew up on the reservation and my family's still there. So when it happened, I was like, oh, they're safe. They're protected. And then I just saw that wave coming, and it was just, it was completely different. And you're right. Like, we didn't have access to this. You were at the bottom of the list. And it's all because, you know, our skin color, our race. It's just maddening. But moving on, your style is paving the way for new chapters in the living book of Americana. Like, how does that feel? How does that make you feel as a singer-songwriter?
You know, I guess it makes me feel pretty good. I feel like since I started playing Americana folk music, I see way more women of color, folks of color in the genre. And I just feel like I'm a part of a new wave where we're kind of, you know, busting down these ceilings, saying like what is and what isn't Americana. That's exciting to me. I feel like I hopefully, you know, there will be more in the generations to come of like girls who look like me being like, oh, I can make folk Americana music. Like, that's not, you know, only for white people, or like, that's not for me. So, yeah, it feels good.
Yeah. It's like, you're standing on others' shoulders and others will stand on you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Every culture has a voice. Like, what voice or voices led you by the hand to compose the lyrics for your new album, Woman in Color?
Yeah, you know, like, I pull from so many different inspirations, not only musicians, but just like human beings and art. And, you know, my mom, my grandmas, my great grandma, just like being on a journey throughout the past, you know, 5-6 years of really on like a self-discovery, self-love journey. I think that, you know, this album was really about coming to terms with my identity and embracing it. I think for a lot of my younger life, I was really wanting to fit in, you know, like, I grew up in predominantly white communities, and I really wanted to kind of fit in. I didn't really want to be proud of who I am. And, this album is about being proud of who you are and going on that journey to the past and not being ashamed of who you are, but also not being ashamed of the journey if you don't really know who you are yet. And if you need to kind of go on that journey, and learn from those who came before you, whether that's, you know, your relatives, or if you don't have access to your relatives, whether that's just people who love you and who are near you and who you identify with and who are like your kindred souls. And so, yeah, so this album was really about, you know, all of those people. And so all of those people alive and, you know, gone were what inspired me.
That's amazing. Yeah. It makes me think about me and my culture. I was kind of the same way. I was very rebellious when I was young. I was like, I don't need this. And I spent a lot of time with my medicine man. And you know, those are memories I would never, for all the money in the world, I would never give up. The inspiration that comes from that, the identity of who you are, it comes out. And that's what I enjoy about your music is when we last spoke, because we spoke a while ago, I was curious is if you went out of your way to write the lyrics that you do, or does it come natural? Let's just talk about a song. Like when you're writing a song, are you doing the chords first or the lyrics first?
It depends on the song. I definitely have written in a lot of different ways, but I definitely think of myself as more of a lyricist than anything, like a words person. So, you know, a lot of times I start with ideas and poems. I want all of my songs to be able to stand out on their own as poems. So a lot of times I start with a poem, or sometimes I start with a melody, but it's very rare that I start with a melody. Usually it's either with a poem, or I'll be like playing guitar and just kind of like jamming and noodling around until like I kind of come up with an idea and it, like the words and like the melody come about together. So it's usually like they're together, or it's words first.
Your music is very emotional and raw. The thing I like about it is it's authentic, and you can't fake that. Like you can't teach emotion.
Yeah. I really put so much into this last record, and it's like left me in this place now where I'm like, what do I want to say next? Because I have no desire to put out an album until I'm like itching to say something. And so I've been like doing a lot of writing and really exploring all these new avenues with my music. But it's like, I'm not ready to like make that next full album until I'm like, okay, this is what I want to say. Cause I'm not really an artist who's just going to be like, well, you know, what are the people going to like, or what is commercial, or what is this, or what is that? I really want to feel like it's coming from a place like I need to say this, not I want to. It's like I need to.
So are you ever going to publish like a poetry book?
I would love to. Yeah, I really would love to do that. You know, I have a Patreon, which is like kind of like a bunch of my, you know, core supporters who are like subscribed to like more exclusive stuff, and I publish like poems like once a week on my Patreon, and they're all always encouraging me to publish a poetry book. So we'll see. I don't write poems with any form, like it's all very free form, so I'm always very shy about it. I'm like, oh, is this a poem? But I think it's just my own kind of poem.
Yeah, I say do it. It form, who cares? Yeah,
I know, right? You know, so I think that's a good idea. I have so many things on my list. I want to make a poetry book. I want to write a self-help book. I want to write a book on creativity, which I've already started writing with my friend. I want to write a musical. I want to write like a children's, like I want to write like my own Encanto. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff on my list. It's a long life, though, you know.
And you're talented, and you have the entire world in front of you. And it, like, how about a kids album?
Exactly, that's on the list too. There's a lot on that list. There's a lot on the list.
You could do it in tandem with like the kids book. Yeah, just be like a series. You create this beautiful world.
I know.
Well, you answered one of the questions I was going to ask you. Is in your you did a video. About the making of Woman in Color. And at the beginning, you talk about how people come up to you and go, what are you? You know, which I wouldn't know what to say if somebody asked me that. And your answer is the album itself, Woman in Color. And for your next project, is there another question that people ask you that you might want to answer?
Wow, that's like amazing advice. That's a really great prompt. It's a great way to look at it. Yeah, you know, I've always felt like people are like, yeah, like, what are you? Like, what a weird question. Like, what are you? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, it's just, it's overwhelming. And I've always felt like I could communicate better. This, like, sounds, like, so cheesy, but I've always felt like I can communicate better through song than through spoken word. And so I've always just felt like if I'm going to convey emotions or how I feel or just anything. It's, I need to do it in song form and in an album. And so music's always been my way of processing how I feel, communicating how I feel. And if I'm not writing songs like all the time, I feel numb. Like I feel very cold. I feel very disassociated from my like spirit, from my emotional body. I really do. Like it feels like I'm, for me, writing music is a spiritual experience. And yeah, it's my answer to that question. It's my way of connecting with spirit and then communicating that to the rest of the world and like showing people who I am, because I've never really been the best at showing people like authentically who I am without music. And that sounds like weird, but I've always felt like it's been harder for me to connect with people on like a day-to-day like social level than like in a music setting. And I think that's why a lot of people create music. It's because we've always felt like the misfits of like communities, and then music was our way of like, oh, this is who I am. And so yeah, I gotta think about what my next question to answer is. That's a really, oh, okay, I'm gonna write that down right here on my notes. What's my next question?
When I first started, I started playing piano when I was really, really young. And then I realized I had depression before I knew what depression was. And so I started composing. You know, I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know theory or keys or just playing by ear. And it's funny now, emotions are just this complex language that words can't describe or define. And that's why art is art. That's why we look at art. That's why we listen to art and read it. It's that in-between pitch in music that makes, that tugs on your heartstrings, you know? And I'm sure you have the same experience. Like sometimes I do shows and people come up to me and hug me and they're like, we're so sorry. And I'm like, no, dude, I'm good. Like I wrote the song. It's out. I'm good.
Yeah, I know, right? It's like, are you okay? Yeah. That's interesting what you were saying about depression. I started writing music as a way to cope with my anxiety. I was having like debilitating anxiety, and literally what I would do when I was having panic attacks that would make me breathe was sing. I would sing to myself, like almost like sing myself lullabies or like sing myself to sleep when I was really panicking. I've never been the same since, you know? Music is music. I mean, I could like cry thinking about music. It just saves lives, and I know it. Yeah. And it's, what I miss so much is like going to concerts and getting to experience music on like such a deep level like that. I always say like, I've done a lot of touring, like in different countries, you know, we don't speak the same language, but we communicate so perfectly with music, with a song, even if we don't speak the same language, like we get it.
That's well said. Yeah, the experience of a concert. There's concerts coming to Albuquerque finally. And it's just like, am I ready? Like, are we ready? And like people are opening back up, and music's coming back because we need music. Yeah, we need art. And I'm happy to see it.
Yeah, I've been touring a little bit. Yeah, I mean, every show you're kind of like, are we okay? Is this okay? I want to show up to work. I want to, you know, serve the people in this way, but I also want to make sure I'm being safe and everything. And so I mean knock on wood, so far I've been fine and people have been fine.
Like the tour you were, what was that like, especially during this?
I just went on tour with the band Tedeschi Trucks Band. I was opening for them, and that was a blast. It was great. They are an insane band, like oh my goodness, like the musicianship, holy moly. Like every night I was just like jaw dropped, like human beings are making these sounds, like whoa. It was great, it was inspiring, it was cool. It was a total honor to open for them. It was
so cool.
And I got just to play. I mean, I was playing for like 2,000 to 3,000 people a night.
It's funny, like you get so used to performing as musicians and as artists, but all of us still feel that, like, oh my God, there's so many people, I'm going to freak out. And then once you start playing.
It's like, you know how it feels when I'm playing for like that many people? It feels like when you jump into an ocean where it's like frigid cold water, you know, and you first jump in and you're like, I can't do this. Oh my gosh, I'm gonna die. And then you're like, wait, this is like the best thing ever, you know, and you just like sink right in and you're swimming and you feel alive and your lungs are like breathing deep and it's great. But that first moment when you first get on stage, you're just like, bail, 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 bail. Go home. Let's go. Let's
that fight or flight really kicks in.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And you know, I'm not someone who really had stage fright much before the pandemic because I grew up doing shows, theater, like I was on stage since I was like 3 years old. So like being in a performance was more natural to me than like not being on stage. Like I was always on stage. And then the pandemic happened and I was not on stage for a year or whatever, a year and a half. And I got stage fright all over again, or like for the first time. And it was terrifying. It's really debilitating, like to go be afraid to go on stage. Like, but there's no one else in my band. It's only me. If I don't go on stage, there is no show.
The last show I did was last year in Philadelphia for We Are the Seeds event. And it was the same thing. I hadn't played for, it was about a year. Getting on that stage, it took me a while to adjust. I mean, the humidity was horrible. It was 100% humidity. It was like 95 degrees or something. I'm from the Southwest, so I'm like 95 degrees, that's nothing. And then you hit that humidity and I melted. It was a pool of Apache, just bleh. It was horrible. So do you have any other live shows coming up?
I have a couple. I'm playing at the Kennedy Center in D.C. I have like a couple of festivals coming up. But, you know, I'm trying to like focus more on staying local and writing. I'm trying to say no to more things. I'm trying to not perform as much because it's really emotionally exhausting right now with COVID. And so I'm trying to be a little bit kinder to myself and allow myself to just be selective of when I'm gonna get out there with my guitar, you know, because but back in the day before COVID I would be like, sure, whatever, I'll show up my guitar, I'll play, let's go. But now I'm like, it feels different. It's a lot more emotional energy to play a show.
Well, I hope things kind of balance out. I mean, we're in the same boat. I saw on your one of your socials your songs on a Hulu show, one of your songs.
Oh, my song was on Resident Alien. It's a show on Sci-Fi. Yeah. Yeah, it's great. They actually put three of my songs on last season. And now they put another one on for this season. And hopefully more. But yeah, they are fans of my music at that show. And it's so cool. It's
congratulations. Life. I mean, that's amazing. That's quite a feat. And it must be so surreal.
Oh my God, it really is. Like to hear your music, like you're like, wait, okay, wait. I'm watching TV and that's my song. Like, really? It really is my dream. It's always been my dream because like, you know, I grew up in like TV and film as like a child actor and stuff. Wow. You know, I did like a little bit of acting when I was younger and my dad's an actor. And so just like to me, like I've always wanted to be on TV, but I realized that like I didn't want to be on TV. I wanted my music to be on TV, like which is me on TV, kind of. And so it's just, yeah, it's a dream come true.
Were you ever like, why did the producer pick that part? Or do you feel that it matched what was happening on the screen?
Yeah, well, this last song that was just on a song called Into the Wild, and it's just about like getting out of your comfort zone, getting into nature. And they had it during like a hiking scene, so it felt pretty appropriate.
Your music has a very like natural sound to it. I mean, the Americana, the folk, and a lot of your videos do take place outside. When you look at your new one, They Say, and your older stuff, it's outside. They saw that too in your music. Yeah,
it was really cool. You know, I feel like I'm like kind of like a city girl. I was born and raised in New York City, but I've been like kind of like reconnecting with nature my whole life because I grew up without much of it. And so I love being outdoors. I mean, my partner makes fun of me all the time. He's always like, I'm always like, oh, it's the sunset. We got to go outside. Like, he's like, I don't want to miss any sunset. or like any sunrise, I want to make sure I like get to witness all of it. Just like to feel the like the sun rays or the moon rays on your skin.
Oh yeah, it was very soothing. Yeah. But I'll go ahead and start wrapping up. Like, what advice for our, to play on your title, Woman in Color, Youth in Color, that are walking on the paths that you help pave as an artist? Like, what advice do you have for them?
Oh, I love this question. It's my favorite question. My advice would be, one, always, is to reach out. Ask people like me or other people that you that inspire you. Text them or like message them on Instagram. Like nowadays, we have so many ways we can connect on Instagram, on Facebook or whatever, email. And if you have a question specifically, or if you need inspiration or you're feeling down and just want to know anything, message me. I love getting, you know, messages and hearing from folks directly, and like, send me your music. That's the first one. But, you know, if that's a Fiva specific question, but other advice would be that, you know, your story is unique. Find a way to share it. What is your way of communicating your story to the world? Whether that's music, writing, art, you know, visual art. Find your passion as early as possible. Really go digging into yourself, and just like run with it. Have a blast. Don't think so much about what you're supposed to do or about this or that, la la. Because if you start early enough and you work hard enough, you can do it. You absolutely can. There are so many resources now, especially if you reach out to other artists like me or otherwise, who can kind of like just like help you and pave the way. But don't be afraid to find your passion, and don't be afraid to like really work at it. I'm talking like every day, every single day, show up for your art, show up for the thing that means a lot to you, because your story is important. And I think that a lot of, you know, depression and anxiety is really rampant with people of color, with youth of color. And so write about it, you know,
yeah.
Dance about it, do something about it, like express it, like put it on paper, put it on a canvas. Become one with your pain, because you can turn it into something beautiful, and share it with the world. And yeah, don't be afraid to work hard, and don't be afraid to find your passion.
Well said. Well said. Well, thank you so much, Rae Zaragoza. It's been an absolute pleasure. But seriously, thank you for taking the time to talk to us. It's been eye-opening and inspiring.
Oh, thank you.
But yeah, you have yourself a good day. This is Zachariah Julian with From Here With a View. We are the Seeds Philadelphia podcast. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, everyone.
From Here With a View, or We Are the Seeds Philadelphia podcast, is produced by Michelle St. John, with music by Zachariah Julian and original logo art by Jason Weesaw. This podcast is funded in part by Independence Public Media Foundation.